Good morning, guys. My name is Mosala, one of the leaders, pastors in Grace Generation Church. We are continuing our series on the Exodus, which we have titled The Story of God's Mercy and Grace. And today, I have subtitled today's message, Serving God Through Difficulties and Discouragements. Serving God Through Difficulties and Encouragements. And so before we dig into the text, I'd like for us to read quite a bit of scripture, and then we will start. Let's read. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Go back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens?" The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cry, "Let us go and offer sacrifice to God. Let heavier work be laid on them, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves, wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day, as when there was straw." And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all your task of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past?" Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants. That yet they say to us, 'Make bricks,' and behold, your servants are beaten. But the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Go now and work. No straw will be given to you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks." The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day." They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put swords in their hands to kill us." Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." And I will read 13 verses in chapter 6. "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will be send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I'll give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. And I will stop there. I had intended to read until verse 13, but it is a little bit much to read. And so I will ask you to look at the rest of the text for yourself. So we're going to speak this morning under three headings. Number one is that when you serve God faithfully, you will meet up with trouble, with difficulties, and with opposition to what it is that you are doing for God. And secondly, we will see in our text that when you do experience this, because of human nature, when we experience these difficulties and setbacks, we tend to question God's calling upon our lives. We look at ourselves and we say, if God has called me, why is it that I'm experiencing this much difficulty? And then the third thing we're going to look at is the reason why we ought to serve God with diligence and faithfulness, despite the fact that we are going to meet up with difficulty. But first, let's just quickly sketch a background and context for us. You would remember that Moses slew the Egyptian and fled into exile after doing that. And he spent 40 years in the land of the Midianites. And in that period, he got married to a lady whose father's name was Jethro. And he started to serve Jethro. And in the course of living in this self-imposed exile, God revealed himself to Moses in powerful ways and did mighty miracles, and then impressed on Moses to go back to the land of Egypt to set the people of God free. Jethro agreed with him, and so he journeyed back to Egypt. And when he got to Egypt, the first person who met him was Aaron. So he relayed to Aaron what God had done in his life, changing him. And he did miracles for Aaron to see that indeed God was with him. Aaron introduced him to the elders of the nation of Israel. And so he relayed the same message and worked the miracles. And so these guys said, we believe in you. You are our leader. You are our champion. Go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And so Moses went and did that. And this introduces us to the first point in our message today, that when you serve God faithfully, you will meet up with difficulties and frustrations. Moses was at this time, him and Aaron were on a high. They were expecting to be the great deliverers of God's people, to come and work out miracles, and they were expecting Pharaoh to agree with them and to set the people free. But precisely because they were doing what God called them to do, God hardened Pharaoh's heart and made things extremely difficult, not only for Moses, but also for the leaders of the people of Israel and the four men and the whole nation of Israel. And so at this stage, we can pause and say, why did God do this? Why didn't God give Pharaoh a heart attack instead of hardening his heart against the very purposes for which he had sent Moses to speak to him? Our very text of Exodus answers this question. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, God says to concerning Pharaoh, "For this very reason have I raised you, to show my power and so that my name would be proclaimed throughout the earth." And Paul in the book of Romans takes this very difficult passage, not only about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, but also God's sovereignty in election, and speaking about how God broke off the nation of Israel and engrafted the Gentiles. And he's trying to answer this very complex theological question. And he quotes this very verse to us. And there's some other key words that Paul mentions is, God is doing this for two reasons. Number one, he's showing forth his severity. And secondly, God is showing forth his kindness. Paul says, consider the severity and the kindness of God. God wants to display the full range of his might, the full range of his power, and he has decided that in order to do that, there needs to be some sort of opposition to his purposes, so that in crushing that opposition, in this context through the 10 plagues, the full array of God's power will be made known to Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, and indeed to the entire world. God has his reasons for doing things the way that he does them. Again, in chapter 11 of Romans, verse 33, Paul says the following after discussing these difficult things. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the power of God and of the knowledge and the wisdom of God." And he says, "How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways." And then he ends that passage by saying, "For from him, through him, to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Don't be discouraged when, because you are doing precisely what God has called you to do, you meet up with untold difficulties. And you will get difficulties not only from the outside, we encounter difficulties also from the inside. From the outside, Moses experienced difficulty with Pharaoh and with the taskmasters. The first thing that Pharaoh said to him was, "You are saying, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go.'" Pharaoh's response is, "Who is the Lord?" And secondly, he says, "I don't subscribe to him. Why must I listen to that Lord?" And in a sense, I perceive a sense of disdain and even mockery. He must be thinking to himself, who would want to serve that God anyway? If this God is so special and so beautiful and so powerful, why is it that you have been my slaves for 400 years? Where was he for the past 400 years of you belonging to me as my slaves? And why must I listen to him? I'm the Lord of Egypt. You need to listen to me. Tell these people to go work. They are idle and they are listening to lies. And I may just take a little bit of a sidebar to say, this is in many cases the very reason why people reject the truth claims of Christianity. Normally, it is not because of doctrinal problems. People don't really have problems with the Trinity or the Incarnation or the many difficult doctrines of Christianity. The biggest problem that people have is the moral claims, is morality. They would say, if your God is so wonderful and so good and so powerful, why is there such suffering in the world? Why are you yourself a slave? And why must I listen to you that your God is great given your condition? This reminds me of a difficult period in the church in Newcastle, just after we planted it. There was this young man who was really promising, great sportsman, and he unfortunately was looking for a job and was not getting it. And this gentleman just tried and served God. And one Sunday, he was serving even as an usher in the church. And one Sunday, I come in the morning, and I find that he's got a goat skin around his wrist. And he tried to hide it, and he was doing ushering. And I had to say to him, listen, please don't usher today. Sit down. We need to talk after the service. And so after the service, I went to him, and I said, what is going on? This is violating what we believe. You are confusing people. This is unacceptable. And what he said to me was, I've been looking for a job for a long time. My family is putting a lot of pressure on me. And they are saying to me, God hasn't listened to my prayers. And I need to fall in line and sacrifice to the ancestors for me to be blessed. And that kind of an apologetic thing on their side prevailed on this young man, because he just couldn't answer. Why, if God is so wonderful, is he suffering as he is? And the sad thing concerning that story is that soon after he did this thing, he did get a job and worked as a police officer. And I see that the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel has done such a job in a lot of people, even our church members, that we expect that simply because you are a Christian and you are loving God and you are serving him faithfully, you are expecting God to bless you, which I agree with. God does bless us. The problem is with the definition of blessing. We then define blessing in almost exclusively material terms. And if I'm not succeeding materially, then I am not blessed of God. Not so. Have you read church history and what has happened in the church throughout? Have you looked at the people of God who have served God? Have you looked at the great man of God, Paul? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the afflictions that befell us in Asia. And then he says, we were so overwhelmed with the burdens beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. And he says, indeed, we felt the very sentence of death. And then he says, but this happened so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And towards the end of that verse, he says to the Corinthians, he says, please pray for us so that because of the blessing that God will give us as a result of your prayers, many people will give glory to God. So he saw, in his own words again, that scripture says, for those who love God, all things work together for good. The blessing of the Lord upon us enables us to navigate even the most difficult circumstances and times. And we can look at those times in one sense, in a particular lens, as the blessing of the Lord upon us. We need to be careful to not define God's blessing in material terms only. But not only did Moses and Aaron experience difficulty from outside, from Pharaoh, they also experienced difficulty from the four men who were of the nation of Israel, as well as the elders of Israel. They came to Moses and said to him, what have you done? The Lord judged between you and us. And they complained bitterly to Moses. And then they did a strange thing of going to Pharaoh to ask for relief from slavery. You can be in such a difficult situation for such a long time that it affects your sense of identity. Instead of seeing themselves as servants of God who need to go to God when times are tough, they saw themselves as servants of Pharaoh in their own self-understanding. And they go to appeal to him. And of course, Pharaoh sent them empty-handed. He says, you are idle, you are lazy. I am expecting the exact same yield, and I'm making things more difficult for you because you are listening to lies. But not so Moses. Moses, confronted with the same problem, he went not to Pharaoh to appeal for relief from slavery or within slavery, but he went to God. And this leads us to our second point, that when we experience difficulties because we are trying to serve God and things are getting worse, if we are not careful, we will question our very calling itself. Moses basically says three things to God. He says, number one, why did you even send me here to these people? I question your very calling and commission on my life. And secondly, he says, these people are not listening to me. How do you expect Pharaoh to listen to me when my countrymen are not listening? And then thirdly, he says to the Lord, I have a speech impediment. I am a lousy guy. I am not the right person to do this thing. And then lastly, he says to God, and you are the greatest disappointment, for you have not done what you commissioned for me to do. You didn't do your part of the bargain. But that is because Moses was so excited when he got this call that he forgot that God told him that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. But I still want to commend Moses, that even though he was angry, even though he was discouraged because of the difficulties, he went not to Pharaoh, but he went to the very courts of heaven to appeal to God. And if you're going through difficult times, and all of us at this time are going through a difficult time, I want to encourage you to call on the Lord and make your case to the Lord. See yourself in terms of your own sense of identity as a servant primarily of God, and not a servant of your employer or a servant of other people, no matter how powerful they may be and how much God may have used them to be a blessing to you. And then thirdly, we are looking at why we need to serve God in the midst of difficulties. What is the reason? Why should we serve God if we are going to meet up with trouble? And the answer is found in chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 13. The answer simply is that because God is the Lord. He is Yahweh. He is the great I Am. And secondly, the reason is that God is a promise keeper. So he basically says to Moses, Moses, even though you are complaining bitterly, he says, I'm going to show you great things. And he says, you do not see your position of privilege. And he starts comparing Moses with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I revealed myself to them as the Almighty God, as Elohim. But he says to Moses, but to you, I have revealed myself to you by my personal covenantal name, Yahweh, Jehovah. And when I looked at the early chapters of the book of Genesis, I was surprised because God does reveal himself to Abraham as Yahweh. And I was thinking, what do you mean, God, that you are revealing yourself only to Moses as Yahweh and to the patriarchs as Elohim? Then I realized that what God must mean in this context is that to the patriarchs, God was a promise giver. God had promised them certain things. They did not see God perform the things that he promised them. But he's saying to Moses, Moses, you are going to see my power. These guys never saw my miracles. They never saw the 10 plagues. They never saw the seas being split. They never saw supernatural provisioning from heaven. They never saw my pillar of cloud. They never saw the pillar of fire. I am going to do great miracles. You're going to see me in a personal and a beautiful way. And then you see the, I think, 4 or 5 I will statements of God in chapter 6. And if you group them together, God is saying to him, first of all, I am going to save you. I'm going to deliver my people. That is the theme of salvation and deliverance. Secondly, God says to Moses, I'm going to show myself to my people as their God and them as my people. And thirdly, he speaks about the land. He says they are going to get into the land that I have promised. We said last week that this is the three themes of this entire book. The salvation of God, law giving of fellowship and God dwelling with us. And thirdly, God tabernacling amongst us. And this is what God is promising. So in closing, I want to exhort us today. First of all, to those who don't know God personally, who don't know the saving grace of Almighty God, God reveals himself finally and completely in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, before Abraham was, I am. And he says, Moses saw me and he welcomed my days. And he was the Yahweh who revealed himself in the burning bush that Moses saw. Jesus appropriates that name. He says, that was me, Yahweh, who was revealing myself to Moses in the wilderness. And secondly, and as the last point is, I want to encourage you, if you do know God, I want to encourage you to serve him faithfully. You may experience all sorts of difficulties in the process of serving the Lord, and you might get all sorts of discouragement. But I believe that one day, God will give us his lens, and we will see that he did the most mighty in us and through us in the times where we would have been complaining because we are not seeing the results that we are anticipating. God was revealing himself mightily to Moses at precisely the time that he didn't see what God was saying. Let us say with Paul, oh, the depth of the riches of the knowledge of and the wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your callings upon us. We thank you that you want us to serve you greatly and faithfully despite what is happening. And so we look to you that you would comfort us when we do not experience the breakthroughs that we are expecting as your servants. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.